Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Riley Auk. Streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him now? The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And this is the best Badgers show in America. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Riley Yauch. We got Dimps behind the glass. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. Stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. We're in the Everlight Solar studio. And Riley Yauch is back after your trip down south to the SEC Championship?
Baseball Tournament.
SEC Baseball Tournament. And you made a little bit of social media news down there because, long story short, you were given seats close to home plate, kind of behind home plate, and then the seats were revoked when you refused to take off or change out your Big Ten shirt.
Yes.
So a couple questions came up afterwards for me is, did you offer to go in honor of the Brewers tarps off?
No, I did not. I could have, in hindsight, that would have been funny. But no, actually, that would have been better, too, like, even out the tan. Because, like, my arms got burnt, my neck got burnt, but now the rest of my body is just pasty. So that would have been a smart solution. Did not do that.
Classic, but again, that's representing the Big Ten.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That is a Big Ten tan. So I think that's good. The other question, well, I guess if you did that, I don't know if, like, the netting would create a weird tan.
Yeah, then I would have got a net tan. Yeah. That could have been bad.
Actually. Yeah, that would have been a little bit strange. So, but in honor of your stubbornness in representing the Big Ten, you have a box that you're going to open up, explain where this box came from. And, then we'll get to the unboxing.
Yes, for those on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, which that's the only place to see us right now, here's the box.
Okay.
I'm holding it up. And so I get back. I post the video, which you guys played on the show last week. And then I get a notification on my phone from Twitter saying, the Big Ten Conference followed you. And I'm like, wow.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
Nice.
Pretty cool. So they saw it. And then a little while later, I see that they sent me a direct message as well. And I'm like, oh, phenomenal. And they said, Riley, we're sorry to hear about what happened in Alabama. We want to do our part to make it right. Send us your address and your shirt size, and we'll do what we can for you. And I'm like, wow, thank you. That's hilarious. Here's my shirt size. Here's my address. And then I get home from Alabama, and what do I find waiting for me? A giant Big Ten box. So I've been waiting with bated breath to open this puppy up.
The box is nice
it
on
is.
Its own.
Got
so like
big life, big stage, Big Ten, pretty sick.
Like it's a box you could use for storage of other things later on. Like that box will hang around.
I'm keeping this in the office for sure. So now
there you go.
Let me
keep your headphones, extra stuff in there.
That's actually a good idea. Headphone storage.
Yeah.
Move this tape, pretty lightly taped, but
What are you are you hoping for? Anything specific in there?
I'm thinking if I could get a hat, number one would be big to pair with the shirt.
Yeah,
and then maybe like a cool shirt, Big Ten shirt, or maybe. Because I did say on Wisconsin in my direct message back to them. Maybe like if they had just sitting on some cool Wisconsin stuff. Granted, like they
probably have Big Ten gear there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I don't know if they just are sitting on every team. But all right, I don't if we can see the box. All right, we can just barely. Let me flip this around, open up the box, and here we have
it. All right.
Look, these are the contents.
Wait, there's a note.
There's a note right at the top. It says, Riley. Our apologies for the inconvenience. Hopefully this package can help you continue to show off your Big Ten pride. We look forward to seeing you at future events on Wisconsin, your friends at the Big Ten Conference.
That is awesome.
Thank you, Big Ten. I very much appreciate it. Let's go through it. So we got two Big Ten koozies.
Okay,
that's huge for my refreshing beverages. We got a Big Ten bucket hat.
There we go.
All right. right.
Now, the requirement is you have to wear, so take a second, you have to wear this stuff. Like, at some point, we'll transition, and you can hop, off camera and put these clothes on here.
Yes. I am down with that. Yes. So we got the Big Ten bucket hat. Let's go. We got a Big Ten dad hat.
That matches your shirt.
Perfectly. Yeah. This is exactly what I wanted. Thank you, Big Ten. That's ideal. And we got a little pocket-sized Big Ten football helmet.
Okay.
That's very cool.
All right, yep.
Little desk piece. We have a water bottle. Oh, this is nice, too. Let's go.
There you go.
An Urban Peak water bottle.
All right.
Big Ten logo on it.
There you go.
I hurt
someone with that, yeah.
You could. This is hard. I lost my ESPN Madison Awala, so that's huge.
Jeez.
And then
all right.
We have a crew neck sweatshirt
sick.
With every team listed on it. I'm going to need some tape to X out Minnesota, but outside of that, we will rep this. So maybe, Jim, I'll go toss this on.
Yes.
And then we
so
can continue.
So you go and come back with a hat on, too, if you want to fill up your water.
Yeah.
Dimps and I will go ahead and grade. That's pretty sweet.
This is a good
haul there, yeah.
I'd say this is a great haul. Thank you, Big Ten Conference. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Dimps, make sure to share it so maybe they'll message you and you can get some free gear as well.
Noted. So,
yes.
That's the key to get anything free in life. Just complain about it and then you'll get something free.
True. Well, Riley, to his credit, he kind of rode or died with the Big Ten. So he came out ahead on that. He's got some nice gear. And here's the thing about Riley. He'll wear this.
Yeah.
And he'll wear it
with
pride. He'll be excited about it. So I'd give the box an A+.
This is good, like, around-the-office attire for you, too, Riley.
Yeah, and then the water bottle's nice. So, and then the koozies, put some Coors Lights in there. And so Riley will do the rest of the show in his Big Ten gear. So
I am now Mr. Big Ten. We are locked and loaded for the rest of the show.
that is awesome, Riley. And shout-out to the Big Ten. Great job by the Big Ten coming through.
Thank you, Big Ten. I wish I had some tape. This Minnesota logo is bugging me.
All right. Well, we'll have to worry about that. It's
we'll
some
do
other
that
point.
Later.
Yes, yes. All right. So let's move on to Wisconsin. They have a football team.
That they do.
All right. We're going to play the little jump. There it is.
All right.
So are the Badgers, we should add Alex Strofe on this,
Mr. Irrelevant,
but are the Badgers irrelevant as far as the football side of things? I think the easy answer and the correct answer is currently yes. I don't think they have to stay irrelevant. I don't think that they can't claw their way back up. But from a fan's perspective, I look at it more like this. Like in Madison and, you know, Badger alums like you, like, there's still diehards out there, but it's really getting pared down to the diehards. And it's one of those things where when I'm in Milwaukee or I'm talking to other people, they're loosely aware of what's going on. So I don't even mean like on a national scale as ESPN talking about the Badgers. I mean like alums in Milwaukee or alums across the state. The Badgers have struggled so long. It's enough for Badger standards. They have basically struggled since Paul Chryst last year for football. Mm-hmm. And right now reaching some of their lowest points. So the Athletic, the AD hire, you know, coming up, is that's not really registering as much for a lot of Badger fans. The diehards are going to consume it, but it's just getting more and more irrelevant to the casual fans, let alone on a national level. Now, the nice thing about Badger fans is that it doesn't take much for them to turn things around. And for Badger football, again, same thing. Turn around and win some games, you'll turn around some of the comments that bothered you in a piece. Was it Anthlon Sports?
Yes.
So, where Big Ten coaches talk anonymously about other Big Ten teams. So we can get to that in a minute. But in general, do you disagree with the premise that right now, like to the average Badger fan, Badger football is just not on their radar?
Yeah, I actually do disagree.
Okay.
I was listening. I'm a big fan of Josh Pate. He has his own college football show, and he's probably outside of the College Game Day crew. Like, he is the premier voice in college football for diehard college football fans. And I think Wisconsin is actually relevant on the national stage.
Okay.
For the reason being, I was listening to his most recent episode, and Wisconsin came up naturally. And you want to know why? Because Luke Fickell is on the hot seat and people expect him to get fired.
Okay.
Like, so Wisconsin is relevant in the sense that people are anticipating Luke Fickell to not even make it through the season. And if he makes it through the season, they're expecting him to get fired at the end of it.
So not the best way to be relevant, no, but they're relevant.
But they are relevant in the sense that, like, last year it was brought up on his show, like, oh, look at all these teams that you wouldn't have expected to have fired their coaches. Penn State, Florida State, I guess they haven't fired Norvell yet. Clemson, like LSU, all these teams that were expected to be so good and then ended up losing their coaches. And they went through the teams most expected to lose their coaches. And Wisconsin's right at the top of the list. I think Luke Fickell, if he isn't the favorite to be the first head coach fired, he is right near the top of that list. So while it sucks, I do think Wisconsin football is relevant for the sole reason that Luke Fickell's seat is scorching hot heading into the fall of 2026. And while I'm Mr. Positive and I think Luke Fickell is going to cool that seat off significantly this season, right now, the national media and the greater landscape of college football expects him to be gone.
You can be optimistic, and there's obviously no harm in that. I could see a world where Fickell wins 8 games and isn't back,
mm-hmm.
depending on who this athletic director.
He
could just look at the overall picture and say, well, when the schedule is hard, you didn't come through, and I want to strike while the iron is hot for a specific candidate. I think at 8, he gives himself consideration for the job, that they're not just going to fire out a principal. 6 or 7, they're probably just going to go, you're gone, and we're just going to bring in our own person. 8, then you might have to look at a lot of things and be like, well, maybe we do see real signs of growth.
So would it have to depend on what the 8 wins are for him to meet the qualification for dismissing Fickell?
I think the AD would take that into effect. I mean, if you're winning most of these games or against opponents, or maybe you pull off an upset but the opponent didn't have their star quarterback, or there could be a million different factors. So, yeah, it's going to be an eye test thing here. But from a fan's perspective, I think you're going to go along with the AD that 7 probably gets some consideration. 6, you're probably just gone. Like, you can't just lower the program's expectations and then barely clear your new low expectations and be like, see, I did a great job. So, like, I think the bare minimum expectation this year is 6 wins for the Badgers. And so you have to clear that bar, I think, by a couple wins to even give yourself a chance to keep the job.
See, so I think Wisconsin is going to be last year's Iowa this year. Iowa finished the regular season 8-4. They hammered most of the bad teams they played. Obviously crushed Wisconsin. They killed Nebraska 40-16. I just watched that game recently. Irrelevant. Iowa handled all the teams they were supposed to handle, and then they lost so closely to the really good teams on the resume. They were the closest team in the regular season to beating Indiana. Mm-hmm. They were right there on the cusp of beating the elite teams, but they couldn't do it. And I think this year, given the infusion of talent, while it will be significantly greater than the amount of talent Wisconsin had last year, it's not going to be to Indiana's, Ohio State, USC, even Notre Dame's talent. But I think they're going to be close. So this year, I think 8 wins is very reasonable with this schedule. And then you lose 3-4 really close games with a Notre Dame, a USC, a Penn State, and then maybe Iowa. We'll see. But I think they're going to be in all of those games against the elite competition. And then they may not be blowouts, but they're going to be able to beat every other team on their schedule. So I think Wisconsin this year could be last year's Iowa.
And I want to get to one player who could make a big difference in that, and that's Colton Joseph. But from the Athlon Sports article that upset you, I think the quote that we should address is more this one. Truthfully, this is a Big Ten coach quoted, "Truthfully, I was surprised that both Wisconsin and Maryland decided to run it back with their head coaches. I wasn't really impressed with either one of those teams. It almost felt like they didn't really know who the next guy was going to be, so they decided they'd rather have a year to prepare for a move like that." Mm. I think that's dead on the nails correct.
Wow.
And I also think that Mac maybe didn't have strong interest in trying to start a new coach regime, that maybe he was, I mean, the timeline can line up where, okay, the season ends late November, early December, and then you're gone by, when did he end up leaving? February or March?
A couple months ago, I think March.
Yeah, so those wheels were in place, and some people around the program kind of seemed that he was not loving the job, and it might have just been easier for him to say, you know what, we're going to keep Fick in here and hope he turns around, but I'm eyeing opportunities to get out, so I might as well give Fick his chance to keep his job and earn it, and I'm going to look for my new next step. So I do think that there was no good option because – and I'm trying – is it Eck from
– Yep, Jason Eck, New Mexico State. Yep.
Yeah, he might be – if they have another good year at New Mexico State, it's not much of a leap to bring him up here. Maybe this year was too much of a leap.
Mm-hmm.
And so Campbell's a guy that everyone loved from Ohio State. Well, he got to jump to Penn State. Like the opportunities that opened up didn't allow the Badgers to take the best person available. That the best person available might have been a year away, and it could be Eck, at least in the wild card, as we don't know who the AD is mm-hmm. now, but it could just be one of those things where the people they liked were they needed another year out of it. And combined with Mac unsure of his future with the Badgers, that maybe it was more of like we're just going to keep it status quo. Still doesn't mean like you can have bad processes and it can still work out.
And that's more of where I'm at. I think two things can be true. I think Mac could have wanted to leave and been ready to be done with his job as the athletic director of Wisconsin, and Luke Fickell still deserved at least one more season at the helm.
But you wouldn't have been mad if he was fired.
No, and it would have made sense. I wouldn't have been shocked if he was fired after Maryland. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been a reasonable decision by Chris McIntosh if he decided to do that, or the Iowa loss. There were a couple moments in the season where no one would have batted an eye
right.
if he was let go. But you decided to stick it out with him. So, and I think given the injury situations, which the first comment from the coach said that essentially Wisconsin couldn't blame quarterback injuries.
81 points is incredibly low.
It is incredibly low. But we have on the screen in the producer's room with Owen right now, the Axe game from last year. Wisconsin-Minnesota is airing on Big Ten Network as we do this show. And I had forgotten just how bad Hunter Simmons was last year. Wisconsin was down 10-7 midway through the third quarter against Minnesota. And they were running the football down the field. They were well into Minnesota territory, like the 25-yard line. Then on a 3rd-and-7, Hunter Simmons throws an interception that gets returned to Wisconsin's 5-yard line. Like, he was so abhorrently bad last year, and that directly cost the Badgers several football games. So, yes, I'm not trying to rewrite history. Wisconsin as a whole was very bad last year. But quarterback had so much to do with it, and to brush that off is asinine.
I'll give you that. We're going to talk about the quarterback here in a second. We can play the sounder. You still could have run the football.
Yeah.
You still could have scored more than 81 points in the Big Ten.
I agree.
But you did this game of
I admit that.
I believe no running back for the Badgers for the entire season had what Melvin Gordon had in three quarters against Nebraska.
I fully acknowledge that.
The quarterback is definitely a problem. But you got to be better than you were. And I think that's what that thing was
yes.
getting at.
Mm-hmm.
They're not 81 points in the Big Ten bad, but like even with a quarterback, what are they, 100 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's still not great.
Yes.
So they would have been less worse. Mm-hmm. I actually, the biggest person we're going to talk about, Colton Joseph here, the person I'm most excited about, and I'm going to forget, the Iowa State running back came in.
Yeah, Abu Sama. Yep.
That is the player who I think could make the biggest difference for the Badgers this year. But let's talk about Colton Joseph. ESPN put out an article, ranked 135 FBS quarterback situations, put them into 25 tiers. Wisconsin and Colton Joseph, tier 15.
Woo!
And it says everyone gets lucky sometimes. And then alongside them were Iowa and Rutgers. So you did make the comp to Iowa mm-hmm. and Rutgers. I think Colton Joseph, if he can stay healthy, his playing style is going to open him up to getting hurt. I think he can be a Mike Samuel, Brooks Bollinger, Tyler Donovan type throwback Badger quarterback. What that gets you in the Big Ten really depends on how good the defense is and mm-hmm. how good the running game is. Because if you're behind, I think you're screwed. Anything can happen, but if you fall behind like 14 points in the you have to throw the ball,
mm-hmm.
I'm really worried about the Badgers. But if they can kind of take control of a game and salt it away from the beginning and use Joseph's legs mm-hmm. along with some strategic passing and the running game paired with a good defense, then I think you can grind out a a successful season. It might not be an enjoyable to watch season, but wins are more fun than losses.
Exactly.
Fun than losses.
I don't care how ugly it looks. If the Badgers are getting wins, I'll be happy. And that's why those same reasons are why I'm optimistic about Colton Joseph, because I think now year two under Jeff Grimes, Colton Joseph is the ideal fit for the Jeff Grimes offense. Tons of misdirection, tons of quarterback running. And I think Joseph's legs are going to be the ones dictating the pace of the football game. Abu Sama, you brought him up. He has the home run hitting capability. They're going to try to run the football a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is going to be on Colton Joseph. And he is going to set the tone. He is going to dictate the tempo of the Wisconsin offense, which I think is going to be a lot more methodical and effectively methodical than we saw last year, and especially under Phil Longo from a few years ago. So that's why I'm confident. They have a really good defense. They're going to be better than they were last year on the defensive side of the ball, and that was the only bright spot of the team last year was the defense. So I think with an improved defense and with Colton Joseph at the helm, I'm confident the Badgers can do very good things this season on both sides of the ball, but especially offense.
At a networking event today, Marcus Sedbury spoke, and we're going to bring someone in to talk about it here. And that someone is my infamous co-host, Molly Brown from Jim, Matt, and Molly. She's a Badger hater, Riley.
I know. Oh, so I've jumped in a couple times.
If you want to get her Badger thoughts before she shares what she learned from Marcus Sedbury at this Downtown Madison Inc. Event, as we play musical chairs with Molly here. Yeah. But your box from the Big Ten. We can ask Molly what she thinks of your fit, too, of your gear that you got from the Big Ten. So Molly Brown now joins the show. And Molly, first thing.
I might have just chipped my tooth. Just kidding. I didn't chip my tooth.
Okay, that would have been bad.
But that was close. And I really hope that you got that on video, because that was actually really embarrassing.
Yeah, Owen, make sure that.
Now I'm really checking though to make sure my tooth didn't get clocked right there. Oh my God. What just happened?
Is your lip bleeding? Are you
why
all right?
Am I sitting? Owen, why did you make me sit in this spot? My God, this is all Owen's fault. Anyways, I would rather talk about your outfit right now. Okay?
Thank you.
So is this what they sent you?
Yeah, they sent me this nice crew neck. It actually fits really well. I'm a big fan of the crew neck sweatshirt.
Good,
yeah.
It's cool.
I got a hat, got a bucket hat, a water bottle, a couple of koozies, and a little helmet, and a note. So I'm more than happy.
This did Chris McIntosh send you that? Or who sent it to you?
Just the team at the Big Ten.
Oh, okay. That's good.
My friends at the Big Ten Conference. I guarantee Mac had nothing to do with this.
Maybe Mac went in and was like, you know what? Let's take this.
Yeah.
You just need a sweatshirt and a t-shirt.
No, they can take it back.
How do you feel about like wearing the other logos on your shirt, though?
I need to X out Minnesota. I just am going to get some tape. Okay. X out Minnesota. Every other team, I forgot where I brought this up. I can find a reason to root for every single other team in the Big Ten Conference, even if it's just plain Minnesota. I'll never root for Minnesota.
Okay,
ever.
Wait, so I'm sorry. Mal, if you want to run through it, you got to give us a quick one-word reason why you can root for all these teams. Illinois?
Plain Minnesota. Indiana, love Kurt Cignetti. Iowa, if they're playing Minnesota. Maryland, I kind of like their uniforms. Also an Under Armour school.
Gross uniforms. I hate
Michigan,
their uniforms.
Michigan, great helmet. Michigan State, I respect Pat Fitzgerald. Minnesota, never. Nebraska, they're tough, but if they're playing Minnesota, I'll root for them. Northwestern, David Braun, Wisconsin Badger.
They should not have put both Nebraska and Northwestern identical logos.
I was going to say, there's a lot of just like letters. It's literally IMMNNPRWW.
You might be able to spell Big Ten.
Yes, seriously.
Pretty close. Ohio State, if they're playing the SEC in the playoff, I'll root for them. Oregon, fun uniforms. I like Dan Lanning.
Nike.
Penn State, also tough, but Matt Campbell seems like a cool guy. Purdue, like, they're just a sad program, so you feel bad for them. Rutgers, kind of the same thing. And who's their head coach right now? I like him.
Is Schiano?
Schiano. Greg Schiano.
How many times has Wisconsin gotten beat by Rutgers in the last how many years?
Never, actually. UCLA, I don't think Wisconsin's lost to Rutgers since they've joined the Big Ten.
I actually don't know. I get Rutgers and Maryland confused because they both came in at the same time. They both look the exact same. It's just M&R.
Yeah, Maryland, embarrassing last year. UCLA, Rose Bowl, that's where they play. Pretty cool. USC, they have a solid band and they have the Trojan
Caleb
that
Williams,
sticks
right?
the sword. Yeah. Sad. Washington, very cool. They sailgate.
They have boats outside their stadiums where you can watch, so I like that. Fancy. And then obviously the Wisconsin Badgers. There we go. Ran through it.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Did you have any real quick?
It looks like the blocks that my kids play with. Like the yeah, like, blocks, yeah, you know what I mean?
Colored in.
I'm very shocked that they don't make those for like the Big Ten.
I'm willing to bet that if you went to like university bookstore, you could find like all baby stuff that's like Wisconsin, okay, like toys,
yeah,
and everything.
Like, yeah, the yeah, wood blocks that they, yeah, they stick in their mouth and they chew on.
Yeah,
at least have them chew on some Minnesota, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I gnaw on them to death. I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Molly, tell us about Marcus Sedberg. Okay. I'm curious.
So as Jim said, I was at a Downtown Madison Inc. event this morning at the Edgewater Hotel. It's a lovely event that they put on, but each month, I think they do it monthly, they have like a guest speaker. So this one was Marcus Sedberg. So first impression of him, I will say, this is the first time that I've ever seen him do anything. Like, maybe he's spoken in front of people before. I don't know.
He's
don't pay close enough attention.
He's done one press conference with Badgers Media.
Okay, so my first impression was I actually liked him. Like, okay. I really did. I thought he did things kind of like warm the crowd up, which, like, honestly, if you're going to be in the position that you are, you should be able to speak in front of crowds, which is part of the reason I think there's been issues within the athletic department. So first things, like, kicked it off. He was like, I want to like interact with you. I want to know who like I'm talking to, that kind of thing. So like, raise your hand if you're a UW alum. So like, I raised my hand.
Oh, okay.
Raise your hand. And like, his goal was to basically get everybody in the room to raise their hands, showing that Wisconsin athletics and the University of Wisconsin affects all of us here in Madison, because it was a lot about like the economic impact of Wisconsin athletics. So it was really interesting. Everybody in the room basically had their hands up, because it was like, have you gone to a sporting event? Have you, like, did you grow up as a Badger fan? Like, that kind of thing. So that part was cool. So I will say I did enjoy him, like his personality. He seemed like he was relatable. He seemed like he was actually interested in being there and telling us about Wisconsin, which was cool.
I like that.
Yes. So, his stuff was fine, showed us like the economic impact, which I thought was interesting. And it was kind of like, I was laughing in my head, because they said that for every single Wisconsin home game, it like contributes to $19 million of revenue for Madison. And I don't know how that all works. I have no idea. But like, to me, I'm like, okay, well, I guarantee that the games last year didn't, because what, half the stadium was full? So it's like, I wonder how much
if
that.
If you want to go glass half full. And I can confirm, I had a meeting with some people who are affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are down.
Yeah.
As far as, so either at,
I mean,
peak,
bars last year, yeah, like.
Exactly.
It was not the same.
Seeing people on Regent Street walk past our tailgate, it was like, there used to be kind floods of people.
So it's one of two things. Either it used to be 25 and now it's 19, or 19's the stat, like the conglomerate number over the last decade.
Yeah.
And that's the average.
Interesting.
Because I guarantee it's not 19 right now.
Interesting. So, he kind of didn't talk about Wisconsin football until he kind of had to talk about Wisconsin football, was kind of the vibe I got. Because it was like, oh, like, Wisconsin ranks on, like, the top 12 of, like, universities that have the amount of teams that play in the postseason. And Wisconsin has, like, 19 out of 23 teams playing in the postseason. Well, football ain't in there. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
But when they ended up doing, like, a Q&A after he did, like, his little spiel, essentially, about, like, the future and all that stuff.
Were you tempted to ask questions?
Oh, my God. Well, one, if it was open to open to everybody in the room being able to ask a Q&A, like, I wouldn't have done it because I'm too chicken.
Okay.
Riley would have. I know you would have for sure. But this was just the guy who leads Downtown Madison, like, was doing just the Q&A on, like, the little, like, chairs that they were sitting in, essentially.
Was it our friend Jason?
Or? Yes, Jason Ilstrom.
He would have called on you.
No, but I'm saying I would have been too chicken to ask.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, would I have had questions? But also, like, how do you ask questions to somebody of that stature in a friendly way? Like, and, like, Jason honestly did it, where he was like, you know, the program that we all care about is the football program, and it hasn't been what we want it to be for the last how many years? Like, how are you fixing it, kind of thing? So, but he did give a little bit of insight into the team, and honestly, I wrote down the things that I thought were most interesting that he said. So first he said, this is the most talented and deepest team that they've had since he's been around at Wisconsin. And then
he's been around for three,
so 4 years.
For the Fickle era?
I think 4 years.
Was it four? Okay,
so I can think buy, he said I can
four.
Buy that.
Yeah, 6-5-4. So yeah, I hope so.
I mean, you're the one that's been going to practices, so you probably know more.
Yes, and from generally what I have heard from people who have been at practice for more years than I have, they are also cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I am more blindly optimistic. They don't want to get burned again, so they like what they've seen. from what I've heard, but don't they're not sold until it happens in fall.
Riley has been burned enough.
Yeah, exactly. I've only been
or he likes it.
When did you start school at UW-Madison?
2020.
Brutal.
Yeah. at that Illinois game, the COVID Illinois game, Graham Mertz's first game was my first game as a student.
That was probably the best game you saw
like,
your entire career.
I'm going to get to see a natty. I'm going to get to see Wisconsin win a national championship. Yes. This is the best time to come to school here and then.
Brutal.
Everything else happened.
All right. Go ahead.
Next thing that he said was that the quarterback room is better than it's been. Yes. And he kind of intertwined that without saying if somebody gets hurt, but if somebody gets hurt kind of thing, because he don't want to put that out into ether. Said if somebody gets hurt, then they wouldn't have to change the entire offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the quarterbacks play a very similar brand of football. I think Colton Joseph is the best at playing what Jeff Grimes wants to do. But yeah, I'm on board with that.
Okay, so here's my question for you. How many quarterbacks do you think that we're going to see play this season for the Wisconsin Badgers?
One. I think Colton Joseph stays healthy. I think this.
I mean, shoot, I'm surprised you didn't say two because the last game of the season isn't going to matter or something
right,
for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, yeah, because they're going to be resting players for the playoffs. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so you're right. Oh, no, they have to beat Minnesota. It's going to matter regardless. Colton Joseph's going to stay.
By Friday.
It's going to stay healthy. It's going to stay healthy. One QB. But I think Ryan Hopkins, if they have to go to number two, I think he wins the backup.
That's
job
his name?
We see him. Ryan Hopkins.
I legitimately didn't know who the backup was. I was like, is it still that one guy I can't remember his name?
Deuce Adams is probably the number two guy on the depth chart right now. But then Danny O'Neill from last year.
Oh, he's still on the team.
Yeah, him and Carter Smith are kind of duking it out for the three.
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
Duking it out.
Also, I didn't realize that Carter Smith was still on the team, too.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and then the next thing that he said that it pertains to football, but he said the interim chancellor, I think he said his name is Eric.
Eric Wilcots. He's my dean.
Oh, okay. Is making the decision on the AD job. He did say, obviously, that they have like the whole search committee and stuff, but he's ultimately the one who makes the decision. And he said that he expects that announcement to be made before the football season.
Yeah, I saw somewhere, I forgot who put it out. Maybe we can ask Jim Polzin. It might have been on Badger Extra. But that they're planning on making the decision this summer.
Okay.
On the athletic director.
Okay, so that'd be before football season.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see because his whole thing, like today, talking to obviously like business leaders and whatnot in the community, like was saying how we all matter when it comes to NIL and that they have their team dedicated to being better at NIL and all that stuff. But we'll see. And his big thing was we don't want to get left behind in a couple years when everything starts to settle. We don't want to be even more behind. I thought it was interesting that he said even more behind.
He did say that. Okay.
He did say more behind.
I respect that.
Yeah.
So I mean, the best way to do it is go to a Chamber of Commerce event.
Hey, it wasn't Chamber of Commerce. Downtown Madison, Inc. Hey, you know what? You got to do it. Honestly, you know what? If Chris McIntosh or Luke Fickell maybe would have like gone to those things in the past. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But like maybe Chris McIntosh would still be here. I don't know.
I think Mac was very happy to leave.
He was very happy to send a Big Ten sweatshirt to Riley Elk.
Yes. All right.
His biggest fan.
Molly, we got a better Jim joining the show. Jim Polzin is going to be joining
the show. Oh, that's juicy.
Yes.
I'm curious to hear, does he have thoughts on Marcus Hedberg?
Do you want to ask him?
No,
you don't have
I'm
to
good.
Leave. All right.
No.
You sure?
You guys do a stand-up job. Mm-hmm. And I have to go check if my tooth is chipped. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
All right. As Molly checks her tooth, maybe there's a... Well, we'll just do what Stedberry did. Hey, if there's a dentist watching, why don't you go ahead and call in and help Molly get her tooth fixed because she can't handle a microphone. All right. Before we get to Jim Polzin, Steinhoffel's Memorial Day mattress sale is still going strong. The best time to save on all the leading brands and take advantage of Steinhoffel's 60-month 0% financing. Save up to $1,000 on Tempur-Pedic Beauty Rest. Split King adjustable base sets known for comfort, innovation, and support. Plus, Helix's Sleep Award-winning mattress are now exclusively at Steinhoffel's. Try in-store or save today. Shop the Memorial Day mattress sale. Steinhoffel's, Wisconsin's mattress leader.
Steinhoffel's Memorial Day sale has been extended. Last chance to save up to 30% store-wide. Plus, get amazing deals like this beauty sleep mattress now $3.99. This sofa only $4.99. A dining table just $8.59. This power reclining sofa now $9.99. Plus, take advantage of Steinhoffel's 18-month 0% financing. All this and more during Steinhoffel's Memorial Day sale. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Relax, it's Steinhoffel's.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Jim Polzin from the Wisconsin State Journal. And Jim, perfect timing because
It sounds like the Badgers are inching closer to figuring out who their athletic director is going to be. And I don't know if you heard Molly Brown at the back end of it, but before you joined here, one of the things that she heard from Marcus Sedbury today at a Downtown Madison Inc. event was he said the Badgers, he doesn't want them to fall even more behind. And I thought that was a fascinating quote. And then she said the same thing I've heard about a lot of people of Sedbury is more likable and more affable than McIntosh, but at the same time, it still feels a lot of the same old from him. I don't know your opinions on Sedbury and your actions with him, but also that statement from him.
Yeah, I'll start with the first one. I mean, not surprising to hear. Like, when Ted Kellner came out last fall and said they were bottom six in the Big Ten, I think that was a pretty clear indication of just where they stood compared to the teams they were competing against. So, and it's something I've heard from coaches and administrators that they realize they're behind. They don't want to really talk about how they got behind, but they know there's some catching up to do at a time when like that was the most interesting thing last fall. Is like Wisconsin's like we want to increase our resources. We want to spend more. We want our NIL game to increase. But all along they understood that every other competitor in the Big Ten was doing the same thing. So it wasn't like you're upping your game and you're catching up. You have to up your game and then some to kind of maintain. So that was the tricky thing. As for Sedbury, I like him as a person. I think he's a good guy, well-spoken. I think his heart is in the right place. I don't know that he has a realistic chance of getting this job. I'd be surprised if he got this job. It'd be tough to hire someone, A, without athletic director experience beyond this interim stint, and then B, someone who's kind of connected to why Wisconsin in some ways is behind, right? Like he's this downward trend in football. It's not Marcus Sedbury's fault, but since he's been here, the trend has continued. And I think that's something that probably will be held against him, even if the candidate pool was not all that outstanding.
Jim, I'm currently on the CSA Search Consulting website for the Badgers AD job, and the first sentence...
And why are you there? Just so people are...
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the Badgers are using CSA Consulting to help them make the hire of their new athletic director. And it has listed here the opportunity. UW-Madison seeks a bold, visionary, relationship-driven, entrepreneurial, and financially astute director of athletics. From what you know about the situation, do you think that's pretty accurate to what the Badgers actually want in their athletic director? And out of those qualities, what do you think is most important for the Badgers to get right?
Yeah, good questions. I certainly think that was a very corporate way of saying kind of what you want. I would love to hear. I mean, I'd love for Eric Wilcox to sit down and kind of give his thoughts and tell us what he's looking for and how he'll decide ultimately, since it's going to be his decision. We haven't really gotten a chance to speak to him yet, or don't know a whole ton about him, considering he's the guy that's going to make this big decision. So we'd love to sit down and talk to him, first of all. I'm trying to think of all those things. Visionary probably stands out as being the most important thing to me. I don't know that it's listed, but in talking to people over the last month or so, people who are interested in this process and people who are even want to be in the running for this job, I think the one thing that comes up pretty consistently is that they feel like there needs to be someone who goes out there and unites. They need to get around the state and build up some good vibes. And I think, without saying as much, that was a criticism on their part of Chris McIntosh, that he didn't get out to around the state enough and didn't get out to Joe Fan and just let them know that we're in this together, put on a cheese head, make them feel good, stuff like that. It's just, these people want to hear, they want you to feel like you're one of them. And I don't think Chris McIntosh did a good enough job. So I think that's one quality that I would look for in the next person is get out there and unite, get out there and inspire, because it's not easy. I thought the one thing, Riley, that came out of this whole thing yesterday from the search firm was, and I don't know what to make of it, but I thought it was interesting, is that, and Todd Molesky, my colleague, wrote this today, is that UW is looking for successful experience as an athletic director or senior administrator in the, quote, modern Power 4 athletics landscape is strongly preferred. Now, mm-hmm. strongly preferred is interesting there. It's not a absolute requirement, but the fact that they're looking for someone who's been an AD or senior administrator in the modern Power Four athletics landscape, I think in my mind eliminates a lot of people, including a lot of people that were on my 12-person list that I put out a couple of days after Chris left. So that to me was the bullet point that I walked away from thinking more about.
The Uniter part is interesting to me because there, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of the same people. There's a lot of people that felt, whether when they played with Mac or when he got here or were on Paul Chris' staff or played for Paul, like it just was a major disconnect. And it did seem like he started behind the eight ball, not because he hired Fickell, but because just from the beginning, I don't know if it's a strength of his or not, but he didn't get out in front of and at least behind the scenes talk to people who would be rightfully upset with Jim not getting the job and Fickell just having that ability to connect with people. And it doesn't have to be just the fans. It can be alumni. And I do think that that's a really important thing to have for the new AD is someone that can unite. How important, and obviously it's kind of a tricky thing because you don't want to be old school Badgers, but if there's someone with the ties to the state of Wisconsin or had been an athlete here, something to understand, or even in the Midwest to understand what it is, I think is helpful because you can look at Luke Fickell. He played at Ohio State, coached Cincinnati, did not understand what Wisconsin is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be helpful and important. Not a prerequisite,
yeah.
I don't think. And I will say this, that list is pretty small, yeah. as is, you know. There's not a lot of obvious candidates with UW ties or even Wisconsin ties. And then if you limit that candidate pool to Power Four experience as either an AD or a senior administrator, the list shrinks even more. So while I agree with you, I think I've always thought this, that there's a knowledge of this place and kind of how the inner workings of it go is important. But also if they find an outstanding candidate from outside, then by all means hire that person, right? Like if I'm listing things of importance, visionary and the ability to unite and stuff like that, bold, all the things that Riley listed, you know, there could be a person outside Wisconsin ties that checks all those boxes. So that's why I'm hoping they open this. Like, I think that was one of the first things I wrote is, you know, deep search, cast a wide net. You know, listen, don't be afraid to think outside the box. So, you know, again, I think this is going to be a pretty quiet search, but I'm hoping that they do that. They look outside the box. I'm hoping also that B, the candidate pool isn't limited by the fact that the person is going to come in and work for an interim chancellor. You know, they're hiring the AD before the chancellor, and I understand why, but do wonder whether that'll limit some of the candidates.
You mentioned just now the shrinking pool, and you've brought that up a few times now, how limited this net could end up being, or this pool of candidates could end up being with all their expectations and requirements. Going back specifically to needing that modern Power Four athletics landscape experience, is there any name off the top of your head that would fit that bill that Wisconsin could either poach from another school or would want to come to Wisconsin? Is there any name that sticks out to you in, like, as a current athletic director or with that experience that Wisconsin could feasibly get?
Okay, so literally the first name I thought of was Jamie Pollard, who's at Iowa State, mm-hmm. and checks off all the boxes. State guy, has been here, has proven to be successful at a Power Four, AD, all those things. I get no impression that he wants to come here. And I haven't talked to Jamie, but in talking to people who know him, that was their sense that he is not looking to move to this place right now. And that he's a guy I would wonder about, does not knowing who your boss is going to be in 9 months, is that a factor in his decision not to throw his name in the hat? But I mean, that's the one guy with connections that, you know, that really stands out. You know, Sean Frazier is another guy. Like, if I thought you guys might ask me to handicap this race, and I would have, and last week at this time, I would have said Sean Frazier, in part because I don't know, none of the other candidates stand out as being obvious. So I think Sean Frazier was kind of the would have been the leader in my mind with no inside knowledge of that. But once you limit now to Power Four experience as an AD, or senior administrator in the modern world of college athletics, which I take to mean 2021 forward, the time NIL and portal went into effect. So, I mean, that really does limit your candidate pool. And I would think Sean Frazier would have a tough time selling himself given those preferences.
So we don't play the full name game here, but the one that kind of came to mind, because it was given to me by a former Badger who at least has a care into this, Sean Eichhorst from Nebraska, and then is, I think, an assistant. With Texas currently. And then if you wanted to think outside the box, I've said this before and I'll say it again, the guy on the committee, Chris Ballard, he was beloved everywhere. He's Chicago Chiefs and the Colts, at least within the organization. Colts fans are like, take him. But look, he's not finding the talent. I just think if you're running an NFL team and you're doing all these things, I think you could have the ability to learn the AD job on the fly, but understand that these are almost professional athletes now and how to kind of connect with them and do that. So those are two names that for me kind of stand out. One more of fitting the resume that they're looking for. But I don't even know if they could pull Sean from Texas. I'm sure he gets a nice big paycheck, even being an assistant AD there or whatever his title is. But and I don't know if fans would be excited. He didn't kind of did what Mac did at Nebraska. Everything else won except for football.
Yeah. No, his name's been floated a couple times to me, too. I'm the same boat. Like, I think he loves this place. I think he'd come back. I think he's got experience. But the Nebraska thing scares me. It really does. And it would be a tough sell, I think, to fans. But that's also not knowing who he's up against, right? Like, we just don't know. The idea of hiring someone from outside, like a Chris Ballard type or someone, I think absolutely has to be a consideration. I just wonder whether it would be kind of a scary proposition to go with a quote-unquote first-time AD after doing that 5 years ago with Chris McIntosh, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's – you can't really hire someone – who's got to learn on the fly. That's a tough sell. I think the one thing is, and I'm not going to throw any names out here because I just don't think it's fair, but I mentioned this from the start, is that when I actually tried to do this exercise, I went through Big Eight and ACC athletic directors, current athletic directors right now, thinking that some of them or one or two of them might be ready to make the move to the Big Ten. If we are to believe that the Big Ten and SEC is where all the power and money and stability is right now, then maybe if you're a sitting athletic director at one of the next two Power Four conferences, you're looking for a fresh start. And I do think this is a good job. I think there's a chance to kind of awake a sleeping giant here. I think there's a lot to love about this place, both internally and the city in itself, the state. You know, so I do wonder, when I saw that line yesterday about experience at the Power Four level, I do wonder whether there's been some interesting names already that have floated themselves to the search firm and trickled their way into the search committee's stratosphere. Because I don't think that's a long shot that, and I'm not going to name any names because I started this exercise and it's just like, what, you know, I don't even know this person. I don't know whether they'd liked Wisconsin. So it's silly putting them on my list. And that's why I left the list at kind of connections to the state and maybe some other potential candidates.
So even though it doesn't sound like we have a name that would be a guaranteed slam dunk hire for Wisconsin, to do a little projection here, let's say Wisconsin does absolutely nail the hire. They find the perfect person who ushers them into the new era. They catch up to the big guys. What does Wisconsin athletics look like in 5 to 10 years if they crush this hire, if they hire the perfect candidate?
Well, that's such a hard question because, I mean, 5 years, like, tell me what they look like in 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, so many questions I'll have about the next person is, how patient are they going to be with Luke Fickell? I mean, you got to start with football, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where this all starts. If this person comes from an ACC or Big 12 place, do they have a next football coach in mind already? What are their connections there? I think that's where I would start and I don't know. Like, I don't know what the landscape's going to look like. Yeah, the SEC meetings were this week, and you've got people at Georgia, both Kirby Smart and the president, talking about breaking away, and I don't think that's possible at all. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, we're just in such a time of uncertainty right now. Congress has got a bill that's making its way through, and what's that going to do to change? Is there going to be more lawsuits off of that? Are, you know, are eventually we going to get to the place where athletes are employees? There's just so many unanswerable questions, Riley, that I don't know how to project what this place is going to look like. It's a scary time. I'm not going to lie. It's a scary time for everything, because if football's not successful and your fan base, your ticket base continues to shrink, it's got a trickle down effect that impacts non-revenue and other sports. And then, you know, it's not good.
It affects the, you know, Madison community too. Yeah. All the businesses there too. If they don't win, that hurts as well. As Sedbury was, you know, talking about the $19 million per game that the Badgers bring in. So you mentioned a few times the not having a chancellor and hiring an AD. And I think I'm curious in this day and age what your thoughts of it are, because like Barry and Pat with Donna Shalala, like that all worked, and she was a key part of why it all worked here, in addition to the visions from Pat and Barry. And I think sometimes fans don't realize how important that connection could be. Is that still, do you think, today's day and age, something that is important at the University of Wisconsin, of having those two in line?
Absolutely. Alignment, I think, is huge, which is why this next phase is scary if you've if you're coming in here and don't know who your boss is going to be. Donna Shalala understood that athletics was, you know, kind of the front porch for the university, and would impact things, if successful, would impact things academically, right? And she was a visionary. She was bold. Like, she was all the things that they're saying in this job search. And she went out and hunted for athletic director. And there was – Pat Richter was not traditional. Like, we're talking about now. Like, Pat Richter was working at Oscar Mayer, right? Yeah. He had no athletic director experience. So I think that's why some people think, well, maybe go outside the box. And maybe that is the way they should go. I don't know. But she had alignment with Pat. Pat Richter had alignment with Barry Alvarez once he got hired. It's just, you know, you need that. It really, because you don't want to sit there and wonder. The Gary Anderson hire is kind of a mini perfect example of that, right? Like, 2 years into the job, Gary was like, I don't know that I'm getting what I signed up for. And that alignment seemed to be off. And that, it can ruin a process. So, yes, I mean, they need alignment. And again, that's why it's a little bit there's people that have made the case to me that, hey, you should wait until a chancellor's hired. And I think you can make a case for that. I think you can make a strong case against it, because it pretty much means Luke Fickell keeps his job in the fall no matter what. So waiting is not ideal. And yet I think the people I've talked to are like, well, if you don't wait and there's misalignment come next year or 2 years, then you're kind of right back to where you started.
You know, Pat's an interesting hire, because he shared with us a couple weeks ago that, you know, the only reason he really kind of took the job is that his family didn't want to move to Chicago. And they're like, I guess we'll take this job and we'll see where it goes. And obviously that changed the course of Badger Athletics. You never know what can change it. But the other thing that he said that was interesting was that he thought, visionary is a good word for it, but he thought the athletic director, and I don't know if this was in reference to this wasn't happening or not, but needed to kind of have a customer service mentality when NIL, saying that basically NIL isn't different than raising money for all the facilities that you needed during his time. It's the same idea, and, you know, it might be easier at points because now you have a little bit more with them for people. Like, what's in it for them? Well, you could have the quarterback talk about your business. So being more creative in those sorts of things and building out the department is important. So he kind of just said that someone who has the understanding that you are in customer service and that the customer and the donors and all that, they're always right. You need to figure out how to connect with them on a personal level and make them feel important. And I've talked to plenty of businesses in my day job here that don't feel like they were valued. And they'll tell me a million stories of how Barry made things happen for them. And they always felt valued, and it never was anything extraordinary. It was just a phone call or a letter or something when they made a donation, or a hello, or yeah, stop by my box. And he was just more accessible. That wasn't the case under Mac. And I think a lot of people took notice for that in an era where they needed money and needed businesses more than ever.
Yeah. If you're winning, all that stuff can kind of be forgotten and ignored. But once you start losing and the pressure starts to pile up, you need those relationships. You need people to believe in you, because they've seen you, they've heard you, they trust you. And I do think there's kind of been, and it's not just Mac specific, but I think they've kind of forgotten the quote unquote little man, the Joes and Janes of the fan base who maybe aren't the big spenders, but will continue to buy season tickets every year, even if things look pretty dreary. And, you know, I did a story a couple months ago, I think it's been a couple months or maybe a month and a half, on kind of the difficult decision that season ticket holders had to make. And that was what finally, a lot of them that are finally saying, no, we're done. The conclusion they came to was that we just don't feel appreciated.
Yeah.
And that's tough. It's a tough spot to be in. So yes, whoever comes next has to do a lot of relationship mending. It's a pretty significant task. I think people that I've talked to that want the job view it as a challenge, and they're kind of competitors and say, hey, I understand it's a challenge, but I like that, and let's attack it headed on. So it'll be interesting who gets it and who's, you know, if some names float out there, I'm curious to see how much they want this job. Because remember, 5 years ago, the finalists were Mac, Sean Frazier, and
Beth Getz was at Ball State,
and now is at Iowa. Yeah, so now that's not three bad candidates, but for a Big Ten job, you know,
yeah,
I don't know that
three fine candidates.
You're wowed by the finalists. Yeah,
yeah. Last one from me, Jim. You brought it up earlier. Ultimately, it all comes down to the success of football when we break it down. So I know Colton's been taking the brunt of attending practices and everything, but heading into this season, how are you personally feeling about Wisconsin football?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing they have going for them is that the schedule lightens up, right? You look at that schedule, and I mean, to me, if anything less than 7-5 would be, I mean, just it shouldn't happen. Like, I just think there's seven winnable games on that schedule, and maybe not even winnable, but games you have to win. And I even think 8-4 is probably not that crazy of an idea considering how the schedule plays out. I heard Molly talking in about the quarterback situation, and I know you were there sometimes, Riley. I think I like what I see in Colton Joseph. I don't know if he's going to be a star, but if he can make some plays with his feet and arm and not turn the ball over, I think this defense will be solid. I really like what they've done in the secondary. You know, you've got a couple of potential studs in Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano. So I think the pieces are in place, and we saw this a little bit last November to have a pretty good defense. And if the offense can just hold its own and not be a dead weight, then I think it gives you a chance to win some of these winnable games. So, you know, as I always will be, I'm optimistic. I've pretty consistently been two wins off during the Fickell era. I've always, you know, I predicted 9-3 in first year, and it was 7-6. And then I thought 7-5, and it was 5-7. And I think last year I thought 500 and back to a bowl game, and it was 4-8. So whenever I make a final record prediction, just remember to subtract two wins.
Okay, so could you predict a 12-0 season, please? That would be very appreciated, so we can get 10-2.
I don't see that happening, Riley. I'm sorry.
Jim, what do you think of the gear that Riley got from the Big Ten because he decided not to take off his Big Ten shirt at the SEC baseball tournament?
So it's funny. I didn't hear the kind of the end game to this. I was listening to you guys last week when he called in from SEC baseball tournament. I thought that was a hilarious segment on just why he was wearing it. Wasn't Evan Cohen on the show?
And yes. Like, yeah.
He was really criticizing. Oh, yeah. I remember exactly where it was. Yeah. He was really criticizing you. I felt bad for you, Riley.
I appreciate it.
So I didn't know this. The Big Ten sent you some merch, huh?
Yeah, they sent me a box.
Yeah, he unboxed it to start the show.
It had a crew neck, a couple of hats, a water bottle, some beer koozies. I'm more than happy with the haul from just deciding to not put on an SEC hoodie in 95-degree weather. So I'm feeling great.
Was that the return address, the director of strategy, associate commissioner in charge of strategy? Was that,
you know, I might actually still have the return label on it. Let me take a gander real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, because he was not a big fan
right,
of the
Jessica
show.
Jessica Lee. All right. At Big Ten, all Rosemont, right. Illinois. Okay. I don't know if you know the name or know her, but that's who it was. That's who all sent right. it.
Well, thanks to Jessica and Jim.
Oh, good for you and good for them.
Yeah. No, it was fun. Look at that. You get some good pub and they get out in front of it.
Yeah.
Wisconsin volleyball is great at that as well. Maybe the football team should step that up.
Suit.
But Jim, thanks so much for hopping on with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
That's Jim Polzin from the Wisconsin State Journal, Badger Extra. He's Riley Yauch. I'm Jim Rutledge. Dim's behind the glass. This has been The Jump Around on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams.